Right, so wisdom. Wise up is what the title of this is. This talk is called. It's a big ask, I think. And I think in a way it's because it's a little understood talent. In the modern world, we attribute wisdom to lots of people, some of them quite odd people, I think. And this is particularly true when we recognize that actually, as I mentioned before, the Bible sees wisdom in a completely different light. It sees it as starting with God and really finishing with God. The Bible, you can't have wisdom without recognizing that it actually comes from God. So wisdom kind of starts by us recognizing the authority of God in our lives. And it goes on as we realize that actually, in a sense, wisdom is a spiritual gift. It's a gift. It's something that we seek, and it matures in us. And it's kind of grounded in humility. It has to be, because it's something that's gifted to us by God. And I think it's quite closely related to love as well. It's obviously demonstrated most effectively in the life, the works, and the death of Jesus himself. That is where we see wisdom really played out. So in a sense, the wise are kind of like a race apart. It's a very high calling. It's calling us to be just like Jesus. It's, in a way, quite simple. Now, I don't consider myself to be wise, but I know that in odd moments, it seems like God will give me wisdom for a particular situation. Unfortunately, it's not something that I kind of live in. I'm not wise all the time, and I guess that's probably true of every spiritual gift that is given to us, that we don't manage to exercise it all the time. It's just something that is given for the moment. I can be insightful. I can be prudent. I can be right. I can be just. I can be fair. I can be knowledgeable. I can be discreet, discerning, understanding, and I can be keen to receive instruction, just as probably every single one of us is in that position. We can be that person. But if we're fair, we're probably a bit erratic in that respect. It's just moments. Wisdom doesn't sum up my life. And I guess that most of us are probably pretty much in that position also. But as with all godly attributes, we need to seek wisdom. It's a quest. It's something we're wanting to become more of, have more of. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, that we should now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and wisdom must be one of those things, mustn't it? It's a great gift, the gift of wisdom. And we're to eagerly desire it, we're to chase after it, we're to seek it. Indeed, sometimes we need to just step out and take the risk of faith, as with any other gift. Wisdom is absolutely no different in any other respect. We actually need to risk being wise, I think, sometimes. Take the chance. I discovered this very long time ago, when I was just 19. One night, I somehow found myself gathered together with a whole lot of young people, being sent out in pairs into Edinburgh to bring the good news, to people on the streets of Edinburgh. I suspect it was in the middle of the festival, I can't quite remember. And we were told that we weren't to approach anyone on the street unless we both felt together that God was calling us to do so. We weren't just to go randomly to people, we were to go out in prayer. And when we both agreed together in our pairs that we were to approach somebody, that then we were to do so. I think that night we maybe talked to 5 or 6 people. One of those people was a young man. He's very earnest, and he asked me some very complicated question about my faith, which I now can't remember. My partner and I glanced at each other slightly apprehensively, you know, like, are you going to answer this one? I'm sure it must be your turn. And I just remembered going through my head the idea that God will speak through us. We must just open our mouths and must do it. So I opened my mouth and I spoke, and what I said seemed to satisfy the young man that I was speaking to. But what was extraordinary to me was that it didn't feel like this was coming just from me. It chimed with the Word of God as I read it, but it was not just from me. God was speaking through me. Wisdom was speaking through me. It fascinated me, because I'd not really realized that that was something that God would do in that kind of way. It was my first experience, I think, of the gift of wisdom. It was profound. And I think it was something that has informed a lot of my life. And it was part of what was happening to me at that time. I was being changed from the person that I had been into the person that I was going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit working through me and in me. So it's been a journey, as it has been for each one of us. And sometimes I have been infected by the wisdom of God. And it's an extraordinarily wonderful thing to be used by God in that way. And at other times, I most definitely have not. Because sometimes I do get things completely wrong. And that's the trouble with life, isn't it? Discerning where God's wisdom is touching you, is filling you, is inspiring you, and when it's not. But that doesn't mean I don't want to strive for it. We need to desire this wisdom. We need to desire it because it is so precious. It's precious to be able to speak into our own lives and into the lives of others with the wisdom of God. And to do that, I think we need to put ourselves at the feet of teachers who inspire us. We need to read God's Word, because it's all worth it. In the reading that Margaret gave us from chapter 4 of Proverbs, it says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding, cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." That's wisdom. Though it cost you all you have. That's kind of a lot, isn't it? I mean, I don't think it's just talking about all you own. It's called all that you are. Do I really take it that seriously? No, I probably don't take it quite that seriously, I'm afraid to say. But I do want to be taking it seriously. I do want to be here, hearing the Word of God preached to me twice on a Sunday. I want to be in fellowship with my friends. I want to be a challenge, and I want to be challenged. It's fabulous to lead something like Alpha, because kind of that's a place where the gift of the wisdom of God is so kind of right out there, isn't it, George? It's just, you know, sometimes you can just feel God speaking through you. It's fantastic. Not to be missed. It's as much a time of growth for the leaders of Alpha as it is for those who are there. But it is stepping out there. It is saying, you know what? I'm going to be exposed. People are going to ask me questions that I'm not going to know the answer to. And I'm just going to be relying on God for that. I want to be a witness to God's grace, his moral teaching, and his love. And I want to give sacrificially. I'll never be able to give enough. But even that is part of growing in wisdom. And I need to pray regularly. And to be fair, I am poor at many of these things. As with everyone, I'm better at some than others, and I'm sure that's true for each of us. Some parts of what we're called to be and do, we find easier than other people. And in a way, that's good. That's why we're the church. That's why we have all these different gifts ranged around this congregation. But it still said, though it cost you everything, do we believe it's worth it? Cherish wisdom. Embrace wisdom. Get understanding. I want to go on to read from a little bit further on in chapter 4, starting at verse 20 of chapter 4, Proverbs. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And so we're called to keep the word of wisdom in our hearts. If we know the word of God, then actually we do have a chance of living a life the way that God intends. But it is kind of a vital part of living that life is to have the word of God embedded in our hearts. That word, that wisdom, they are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. I don't think that this is promising that we're going to be totally free of sickness. I think that's fairly clear, isn't it? We look around here, it's quite a number of us who are suffering from one sort of illness or another. But I do think that even in the modern world, there is recognition that those who live clean, true, and upright lives are often much healthier. The rules that God has put before us are for our own benefit. They are for our blessing. They are to help keep us from harm. God is not a spoilsport God. God is a protecting God. And this wisdom that pours out of our God into our lives gives us lives that are not free of burdens, but gives us more peace and gives us the faith to carry burdens more lightly and even to recover more quickly as our friends bear us up in prayer. And we heard from somebody recently, I can't actually remember who it was, saying that those who face death in the arms of God die more gracefully. I thought that was a tremendous, tremendous witness to what it is so different about living in the kingdom and under the influence of the wisdom of God. And we know too that the wisdom of forgiveness, of forgiving others, relieves us of huge burdens, and that the human psyche isn't really capable to cope with unforgiveness living and eating away at our lives. And this is wisdom indeed, to follow the example of the Savior, to have the wisdom to forgive. But it is a gift. It's not easy in some circumstances, and we all know that. We need to seek that gift of being able to forgive. Desire it. That's what this proverb says. We're to desire these wise things, these wisdoms from God. Part of that is to guard your heart, to protect yourself from the things that may negatively affect your life. To have wisdom is to know what might harm you and to avoid it. You know, sometimes I hear Christians wanting to tell other Christians what might harm them. But actually, you know, the important thing for us is to avoid the things that are going to harm us. Let's not be too quick to judge other people as to what will harm them, but let's make sure we steer clear of the things that will harm us. Let's have the wisdom to do that first. Guard your heart, says this proverb. So having guarded our hearts, we have a chance to then guard our mouths. This all sounds straightforward, but we know how difficult it is to achieve. You know, the saying of the right thing and not saying the wrong thing? Indeed, it's really unachievable without the enabling power of God in our lives. You know, we just need God to help us, to surround us with his wisdom so we can say the right things, be the people he calls us to be. The power of God's Holy Spirit at work in us is the key. And then we can't be surprised because, as I said, the start of wisdom is a gift from God. If it is worth all that we have, then perhaps part of the secret of getting a share of it comes in chapter 4 and verses 25 and 26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in your ways. That's kind of like the song, isn't it? Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight ahead. Be that person who is living in the light of God. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. We sang it last week. And yes, for the knowing of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I suspect it is the culmination of wisdom as well. We begin by knowing God, but actually the completion of wisdom is to continue to know him. There is such joy in being there when God acts and speaks. There is nothing like it, is there? When we see somebody have their life changed by him and we're there, maybe laying our hands on them in prayer, or perhaps we're there when somebody gives their life to Jesus, there is nothing like it. When we see God at work, there it is incomparable. And there's this sense that we are there at this historic, wonderful, important moment. It says in 15:23, how good is a timely word? I think that's such a lovely thing, because getting the timing right is pretty important as well, isn't it? You know, you can speak the same word at the wrong time, and just, you know, and it's the wrong time. And yet, if it's using God's timing, the joy of being there when God's at work is so great. How good indeed when the timely word comes from the Bible itself or through the lips of someone that we know and trust, maybe somebody from the prayer team, and they speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When words of wisdom are spoken, we must always test them, of course, against the Bible. Excuse me. Yeah, I thought it was best not to sneeze into the microphone. It might be a bit of a shock. We must test the words that we speak in wisdom against the Bible. And that's why there's no shortcut. We can't lazily say, oh no. Excuse me again. That's when it's really good that you're giving this talk amongst friends, isn't it? You'll bear with me while I sneeze. There's no shortcut. You can't lazily say, I don't need to study the Bible, for I'll rely on the Spirit's inspiration. Because I have to say, I think that way just lives complete folly. Our minds are fickle. And we can easily persuade ourselves that we think it's from God, but unless we're absolutely grounded in Scripture, we can be so very wrong. It's a fine balance. We need to be willing to risk, in faith, being wise. We need to take the risk of being wise. But if behind us stands the Word of God in our minds and hearts, then we have much more chance that the word is spoken truly. But we still need to take the risk of faith. We still need to speak out. We need to seek God's leading under the power of the Holy Spirit while tempering this always with our understanding and the inspiration of Scripture. But like I said, wisdom starts with God. It's a gift of God. It can only be there in God's presence. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given to so many people in this church. As we've spoken into one another's lives, we have been enriched because your Holy Spirit has been at work. Use each one of us, we pray, to be wise. To be inspired. That in the everyday, in the mundane and the normal, we may speak with wisdom. We may think with wisdom, we may act with wisdom, and that we may give the timely word at the right moment chosen by you. Use us, we pray, Lord, to build one another up, to build up our families, our friends, and to be filled with your Spirit so that we can know your love, your hope, your salvation, and spread that into the lives of many others. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.